The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Have the roles of men and women in society really changed that much? Now, more than ever, men and women are competing in the workplace, in parenting, even in relationships. It doesn't have to be that way. Welcome to It's Time to Go Back to Basics with your host, Naftali Schwartz. Today, a lot of people are delaying or even foregoing marriage. And when there are disagreements, instead of communicating, it's just too easy to forget it all. Maybe that's why divorce rates are so high. When we discuss our roles and communicate with each other, great things can happen. Now, here is Naftali Schwartz.
Okay, hello everyone. Welcome back to another edition of It's Time to Go Back to Basics. I'm your host, Naftali Schwartz. And today the topic I chose for today is devastating effects of divorce. And the description of it is going to be the pros and cons of getting a divorce. And I have a nice surprise for our listeners today. I actually have my executive producer, his name is Josh Bernstein, and he's going to be my guest for today. And he definitely can share his views on being divorced, because unfortunately he's one of those statistics. So on that note, I want to say good morning to Josh Bernstein.
Good morning. Great to be here.
Thank you for being on our show. Oh, by the way, and I also have my wife back, Linda.
Hello. How are you? Good morning.
Okay. Nice to have you back. And the way we should start is you both experience, unfortunately, from your childhoods, serious ramification of both your parents being divorced. So you can definitely relay that to our subject. And so I'd like to start with Josh, if you can tell us about a little bit about your childhood and what you've been through.
Well, my parents got divorced when I was 7 years old. And when you're 7 years old, you are an impressionable young youth. And lots of things can happen, lots of, things can be said, things that go back and forth. And the worst thing that a parent can do is put their child in the middle between the conflict. And when that happens, it causes undue damage to that child and certainly makes them possibly act up in school, which certainly I did. Had to be the class clown, had to be the center of attention. And a lot of that was predicated upon that divorce because, again, when you're a child at 7 years old and you're being pulled apart, and you know you don't know why your dad is suddenly leaving and moving out, and your mom's not giving you the type of adult answer that you would hope for because you're only 7 years old. And so it causes a lot of stress. It causes a lot of pain. And it's a tough thing to do. Again, divorce is never easy, but it's certainly not ever easy on a young child.
Right. Now, in your case, do you feel that your parents, they could have really tried to save the marriage, or is one of those marriages where they would have been better off being apart?
Well, I guess hindsight is 20/20, so it's really hard for me to say. I know that there was a lot of anger. There was a lot of violence, not physical violence, but certainly emotional and verbal violence, if you will. And, they were married for about 15 years, and it just got to the point where they probably just grew apart. And as they grew apart, there was accusations on both sides, obviously, of this one did that and that one did this. And it was just a tough situation all around. So I think that they're both now happier. They're both remarried, and life goes on.
That's interesting. So in terms of what we're talking about, going back to basics, do you feel if they would have had some counseling, maybe that would have intervention, that is?
Yeah, I certainly do. As a matter of fact, you know, there wasn't any counseling. I believe that to do counseling, it needs to be both parties, you know, willing to do that. And in this case, one party was not willing to do that. And again, I think that once you bring attorneys and third-party interests into the equation, and those attorneys then tell, you know, tell the two folks, hey, don't talk to them because this could be used against you or that could be used against you. Once the separation happens through that third party administrator, whether it be a mediator or a lawyer or what have you, I think what ends up happening at that point is it makes it very hard to reconnect. And I think that's what happened not only certainly in my own divorce case, but also in my parents' as well.
Uh-huh. So that's a good point that we've been basically talking about week after week, is that the idea is if there is intervention and people are trying to resolve their issues before you just say, okay, it's time to throw in the towel and just get out of here, out of my life, that could save a lot of agony, a lot of sadness, a lot of depression, and not to mention who suffered the most, the children.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think in any relationship, the three C's are the most important. And that's communication, commitment, and compromise. And I think that when it comes to communication, you have to be on the same wavelength. You have to be able to understand each other. You have to understand that each one is just as important as the other, and there shouldn't be a power struggle, if you will. And then I think commitment, again, you have to be committed to making a relationship work. I mean, you know, they're not easy. And it takes a lot of work and effort, and both have to be willing to do that. And if one is willing and one is not, it's not going to work. And then obviously the third thing is compromise. You know, how much or how little is one or more willing to do? And I think that the compromise part really shows that there's no power struggle. And when you can truly compromise and, you know, not nitpick the faults, but instead, you know, praise the things that you have in common, then you can make things work.
Right. You see, because Lynn and I, we believe that couples should complement each other, mm-hmm. not compete against each other.
Correct.
By the way, Josh, I was wondering, where did you learn about this three C's? It's interesting.
Just had lots of girlfriends. Trial and error. Right. Again, went through a divorce myself. Was a messy, nasty divorce. And I think that, you know, with any divorce, it truly is a two-way street. Nobody is not guilty and the other person is totally guilty. I mean, it's a two-way street. I did things that I certainly wish that I could take back and redo, and I'm sure that she felt the same way. But ultimately, I think that, you know, you learn from your experiences. What does not kill you makes you stronger. And I think one of the basic things that I've learned from my divorce is learn to pick your battles. Learn what's important and what you can live with and what you can't live with.
Oh, that's a good point.
And if it's something silly like the toothpaste or, you
yes,
know,
the
or,
famous toothpaste with a cap,
not putting the seat down or whatever that might be, you know, just realize that there's so many more positive traits that you, you know, first saw in that person
right.
and concentrate on the good rather than, you know, the things that you don't like or you know, want to control, because control is not going to work in a relationship.
Exactly. You know, Josh, because I always tell people, always go back to the beginning. Try to remember what attracted you to begin with. There are obviously things that attract you to the person that you were married to. And so go back and see where it started. Try to go back and see where it started to deteriorate. If we can go back to that point and try to fix it, I know it's not easy. It's not that easy, obviously. It's that's one of my ways that I look at things, is that when I say go back to basics, that people need to, before they reach that point of no return, like in a plane when you fly and you run out of fuel so you can go back to the base. Same idea. How does that sound to you, for the benefit of our listeners who contemplate divorce?
Well, again, I think the main thing is communication, knowing that one or both wants to make it work. It's, you know, it's going to take a lot of effort to make a relationship work. It always has and it always will.
Right.
So I think, like I said, you have to be willing to put in that time and energy and effort into making that be a successful relationship.
Right. And by the way, do you find that the media today definitely does not help the situation? You know, where, for example, you travel around and you see on the billboards, get divorced, $400, you can get divorced. That's
right.
It. You see?
Well, I think I call it the microwave generation, you know? Mm-hmm. Let's instant gratification. Let's make things happen right now without working for things, without doing certain things. And I think with relationships, it's the same way. If it's not easy, then they don't want to put the work into it. But also technology, you know, people tweeting and posting and doing all these, you know,
exactly.
Texting when they're sitting right next to each other, like you've talked about in previous shows.
Yes.
Technology's gotten in the way of communication.
Right. So in other words, technology is good, but if it takes over for our communications, then that's why I draw the line. That's why I tell people, let's say we just discussed it with Linda, when you go on a date, turn off the phone, turn off the smartphone, the cell phone, leave in the car, but show your date that I'm here to talk with you, not to take care of my phone calls.
Right.
Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely. And, you know, this generation, it seems, you know, is not as communicative as past generations because of technology. You know, you've got LOL and you've got smiley faces and you've got, you know, be right back and all these little codes that they type and things like that. It's taking away from the linguistics of society. And it's truly, I think, in some respects, making us dumber.
Hmm. Okay. So now, from that point of view, how would you like to see things change?
Well, going back to basics, I mean, having that communication, having that eye-to-eye contact, you know, putting the phone away, having a true, real, in-depth conversation with someone, getting to know who they are, what they're about, rather than just the facade of what they want to portray themselves to be.
Right.
You know, things like that.
Exactly. So now also, let's see, you talked about your own, unfortunately, divorce. Okay. Basically, I'm sure because of your upbringing, that wasn't your plan. You were hoping to stay married. What would you say was contributing factors? Because I don't believe you were married that long to begin with.
No, I was not.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah.
Contributing factors, I think that youth had a lot to do with it, inexperience, possibly rushing things, you know, being young and inexperienced and, you know, looking at the true love situation without looking at it from a standpoint of, you know, what's going to be down the line, how are things going to progress down the line, are there certain things that you want out of life and what they want and things like that.
So, uh-huh. So I believe you said it was very short, like 14 months, which is really short. I mean, sometimes I hear people say they're married 2 years, 3 years, even that is short.
Right.
But 14, obviously that was, there were really serious issues here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so on that note, we're going to go to a commercial break and we'll be right back.
Are you single and looking to get married soon? Perhaps you've started that journey with your soulmate and need some coaching before you get married. Are you feeling that issues in your marriage have pushed you to the brink of divorce? Naftali Schwartz wants to talk with you. At the Center for Self-Improvement, we offer coaching for people that are looking for results in their lives or are just having trouble taking the next step. If you're ready for a shift in your attitude and mentality, visit the Center for Self-Improvement, Inc.com or call us at 818-209-7533. We're based in Southern California, but we can reach out to you no matter where you are in the world. If you're not in our area, Naftali can offer private sessions via telephone or online. Naftali will help you with your relationship coaching at almost any step. If you're looking to be in a relationship, in one now, or thinking about getting out of one, don't be hasty. Call Naftali today to get results in a different way. Visit CenterForSelfImprovementInc.com or call 818-209-7533. Again, that's CenterForSelfImprovementInc.com or 818-209-7533.
Museums are great places to work and wonderful places to visit. But are they essential? How can we improve our museum practice so that museums remain vital and essential players in society? Listen for Museum Life with host Carol Bossert, where each week we'll discuss timely and topical issues of concern to the museum community. Museum Life can be heard live every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Very rarely does our news media spotlight some of the good things that are happening in our world. For more of these good stories and the people that are creating them, tune in to Bread for the Journey with Mariana Cacciatore. Whether these good acts stem from personal tragedy or just a desire to help out and make this a better world in which to live, you'll find inspiration in every week's program. Connect with those that are doing something great for a change. Listen for Bread for the Journey, Saturdays at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern, on the Voice America Variety Channel. The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com. You are listening to It's Time to Go Back to Basics with Naftali Schwartz. To reach the show today, please call in to 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. Now, back to this week's program.
Okay, everyone, we are back with my guest for today, Josh Bernstein, and my wife, Linda. And as we were saying, Josh, okay, you know, first I'm going to talk to Linda a minute about your upbringing, what you went through with your parents, and how devastating it was to you in your childhood.
Okay, sure. First of all, my mom got married twice and divorced twice. She married my father, my brother's father, at 19 years old. Mm-hmm. A year later, they had my brother when she was 20. And then they divorced, I think, when he was about 4 and a half.
Right.
Then my mother met my father on the rebound. And then I was born when she was 26 in 1963. Now, my parents divorced when I was 2 and a half years old. And I never really knew my father. And I never had a father all throughout my upbringing. Never even had any connection with him. So my feelings are a little bit, or should I say a lot different than Josh, mm-hmm. because I didn't feel the divorce the way he did. I was just a little girl, mm-hmm. just like a toddler. And so I didn't feel that. But as I grew up and I started to look on the outside and see other people's families as I got older, mm-hmm. I look to see, wow, they have a mother and a father and how they relate to each other and all that. And I had gone through my own trials and tribulations with sadness and hurt and pain because my mom wasn't always around. Mm-hmm. I was a latchkey kid. By the time I was 7 years old, I was literally watched either by my brother sometimes or by my grandmother or a babysitter or nobody. Sometimes my babysitter didn't even show up and was supposed to pick me up at school to take me home and watch me until my mother came home around 7, 8 o'clock. And when she didn't show up, I used to have to go from school, and I had a crossing guard that crossed me across a big, huge street, Jerome Avenue in the Bronx. And I would go home because I was 2 blocks away, and I had a key. So it's called a latchkey kid in those days. Right. And I would go home to the apartment, had the key, get in the apartment, and I would literally sit there and watch TV until my mother came home.
Right. So the point before you continue, so your parents were you were just 2 years old.
I was 2.5 years old.
Wow. So you don't even you always said to me, sometimes I'm like a husband to you and a father because you don't know you have no idea what it means to have a father.
No, not at all. And as I was growing up and looking to have boyfriends and things like that, I always it's so funny because my older brother, I can honestly say has been pretty abusive to me. So
that's unfortunate.
So but after all that, I've always loved being around men. And I've always had male friends. They've been my best friends. I've always trusted men as far as friends. Relationships were a little bit difficult because I didn't understand what a good relationship should be like. I didn't have an example.
Well, there's no role model to follow.
Correct.
That's a big issue here.
Correct.
So when parents get divorced at such a young age, they have to understand the ramifications that it's going to have on the children.
Absolutely.
In other words, before parents decide it's throwing the towel and call it quits, they have to realize that they have a responsibility to their children.
Absolutely.
It would have been nice if your mother could have resolved their issues and your father would have been around and you could have been raised by your mother and your father.
Exactly. Well, she made her life a mess, unfortunately. She literally got divorced, if I calculated correctly, by about 28, 29 years old. So she was already a mess before she was 30. She had already two divorces.
Wow.
And she never, in those days, and I've spoken to people from her age group, in those days, they did not talk about their pain and their feelings out in public to anybody, not even their close friends, because they didn't want them to think something was wrong with them.
So going for help was out of the question?
Going for help during those days was definitely out of the question. It's unfortunate. Today, as you can see, today everybody talks about every illness and every sickness and every feeling that they have.
Yes, yes.
And they wear it on their sleeve, too.
And yet we still have all these divorces.
Still have all these divorces because people are not, they want everything so quickly and they don't want to think about what they're doing to begin with and how they're meeting each other and where they're meeting each other. Why they have, are they getting married on a quick lustful feeling? Are they getting married on an infatuation type of thing, on a crush type of thing?
Yes.
Or are they getting married because they feel guilty about something?
Yeah, by the way, Linda, Josh has something to say about this lust feeling that you just mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, go ahead, Josh.
Well, in my case, it was certainly more of the physicality and physicalness as opposed to emotional. And I think obviously when you're younger, that's usually the first thing that kind of happens. You know, you're attracted to the person, they're attracted back to you. And, things start out a certain way, and a lot of times they start out physical before they become more emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the key is, not to sound like an old grandfather, but in some respects, you want to try to figure out a way to connect emotionally, because obviously the physical factor is going to follow, regardless. And so I think that if you take the priorities and you switch those around instead of just going after the physicality and then going after the emotional, just flip those two around. And I think when you're younger, it's easier said than done, because we have the media and we have television and the movies and everybody's scantily dressed and everyone has to keep up with the Joneses and the best fashions and everything else, and plus what they wear. And truly, I think it starts a lot in the home.
Yes,
the parents need to be knowing what they're wearing, what these children are doing, what are they doing online, who are they talking to, who are their friends, being involved as a parent. Because again, not to say to be a helicopter parent, but, maybe to just be someone that's there, that has taken an interest in that child's life, hopefully both parents, because, again, I don't believe it takes a village to raise a child. It takes a family to raise a child.
Mm.
And, you need good, strong moral values instilled in that child so that they have a fighting chance, so they have an opportunity to realize you know, what is important and what they want for themselves, and it comes down to self-respect as well.
Exactly. So when we say let's go back, it's time to go back to basics, you would suggest that let's turn it around. Mm-hmm. As you said, first the emotional, let's form the base between
Correct.
The two, the man and the woman, and then the physical follow. You do the opposite, don't expect the base to really be very strong.
Exactly. Any relationship is all about building that foundation built on honesty and trust. And if you don't have that, you really can't move forward from that point without that.
Exactly. And that is correct with you too, Linda?
Oh, for sure. Definitely. As I said, my mom was pretty bitter all the way through her years. Never seeked out any kind of help therapy-wise. It's unfortunate, but regardless of that, I have seen through her, because of her behavior, every time I did bring home some kind of companion, boyfriend, and she would always judge them in every way. And I never understood why. And after I got to a certain point in my life, after doing research on relationships and reading a lot of books and as well as having experiences with men, I learned that I'm going to have to make my own choices. So I finally found a way to move out on my own. I was 30 years old and or 31, and I moved out, and I said, I had enough. I am going to make my own decisions for better or for worse. And I said, I am going to look for somebody that's good.
Right.
And at that time, I happened to be dating a guy, and I was already dating him for almost 2 years. And my mother told me something about him that sort of resonated with me, but I had to verify and clarify for myself.
Right.
So I moved out, and I continued to date him, and I continued to see things for myself. And then I got to a point where I said goodbye. And I said, enough is enough. I want to get married to a true blue guy that's going to be, hopefully, and will be, my very best friend. And somebody that I can confide in and trust and be close to. And it has nothing to do with how much money the person's making or how well-dressed or what kind of car or any of that kind of stuff.
In other words, you weren't concerned with the materialistic at this point.
Exactly.
Right? Yes, like many people are, that's basically what they're concerned about, is the materialistic.
Exactly, yes.
How many people we know, they say, well, men say, you know, Josh, I want to get married, but I'm not making enough money. And we look at him, well, hello, that's not a reason not to get married. And it is, yes, it is. I'm going to have to wait another 5-10 years. And we look at it, Lynn and I look at him, now why are you doing that to yourself, you know? I mean, the money will come. Get married.
Right. Well, it happened to me, too.
Yeah.
I was actually meeting men, of course, in my background, you know, my field, my profession. I'm into IT, and I'm a web designer now. And at that time, I was looking to meet what we call a PC guy.
Right.
And people in that field. So,
right.
I'll tell you a little bit more, I guess, when we come back.
Okay, so, you know, we'll come, we'll come back with a break. We'll continue. Okay, so we'll be right back.
Adoption changes a family forever. For the adopters, as well as the adoptees, there are many adjustments that need to be made, from lifestyle to financial. And the personal rewards are unlimited. Listen every week for Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. We will examine in detail such topics as international and domestic adoption. We will talk with adoption professionals and hear stories about real families adopting. If you've been thinking about adoption or recently began the process, you'll want to tune in to be inspired every Saturday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific, on Voice America Variety.
Are you single and looking to get married soon? Perhaps you've started that journey with your soulmate and need some coaching before you get married. Are you feeling that issues in your marriage have pushed you to the brink of divorce? Naftali Schwartz wants to talk with you. At the Center for Self-Improvement, we offer coaching for people that are looking for results in their lives or are just having trouble taking the next step. If you're ready for a shift in your attitude and mentality, visit the Center for Self-Improvement, Inc.com or call us at 818-209-7533. We're based in Southern California, but we can reach out to you no matter where you are in the world. If you're not in our area, Naftali can offer private sessions via telephone or online. Naftali will help you with your relationship coaching at almost any step. If you're looking to be in a relationship, in one now, or thinking about getting out of one, don't be hasty. Call Naftali today to get results in a different way. Visit CenterForSelfImprovementInc.com or call 818-209-7533. Again, that's CenterForSelfImprovementInc.com or 818-209-7533. What does a visual workplace mean to you? How does it contribute to operational excellence? And what steps do you take to put it powerfully in place? Listen to The Visual Workplace, Work That Makes Sense, to find out. Each week, Dr. Gwendolyn Galsworth, visual workplace expert and award-winning author, shares tools and strategies to help you make the workplace to speak at a glance without saying a word. Learn to work safer, faster, better, and at far less cost, no matter what business you're in. Tune in to The Visual Workplace every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Business. Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com. You are listening to It's Time to Go Back to Basics with Naftali Schwartz. To reach the show today, please call in to 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. Now, back to this week's program.
Okay, and we're back, everyone, with my guests, Josh Bernstein and my wife, Linda. So you were saying, Linda.
Yeah, so I was saying, so I happen to be dating in the realm of my own background, you know, my own professional background in IT. Mm-hmm. And I was, like, looking for somebody that would be in the same field. I thought I was supposed to date somebody and marry somebody within the same field so we can share, you know, not only just being Jewish together, but also being professional in the same type of field. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I was dating, and then I had one person that told me, you know, gave me a clue that, well, he wanted a very independent type woman where she would be financially independent and he would be financially independent, and that, you know, there would be no connection, maybe even a prenuptial, that kind of thing. And I said, oh, got to get rid of this guy. It's not for me. Mm-hmm. And then I had a very nice guy that worked with me. His name was Eugene. I won't give his last name. But a very nice guy, and he was sitting in the cubicle next to me in my office. Mm-hmm. And he actually took me aside, and he said, well, I know that you're dating, you're looking to get married. And he said to me, you know, you don't marry a guy based on his career.
Uh-huh.
So I had to really think about that over a couple of days, a couple of weeks, whatever it was. And then, believe it or not, as I started to become religious, and I was religious when I worked in that firm, actually,
right.
I said, wow, you know, so I should open my eyes and my heart and maybe just look at a person, no matter what field he's in, but that we can be compatible with each other and enjoy each other's company and make a partnership.
And
you
by the way, yes, and by the way, for the benefit of our audience listeners, I want to emphasize this. You actually went through a transformation. It's one of my favorite words. You actually started evaluating your own belief system. And you had to learn new ways of dating.
Yes.
Because the old ways were not working out. That's what we're here to talk about, that we can always change, just as I'm going to talk about with Josh for a minute. In other words, Josh plans for the future. I'm sure Josh has a different perspective on the way he's going to do things in the future when he looks to get married again. Hopefully. Yeah.
Certainly not in a hurry.
Yes. But I'm sure that, okay, so, you know, I'll get back to Joshua one minute. So go ahead, Linda, you were saying.
While I was learning Torah, and I was learning the scriptures and learning about the characteristics of how a Jewish woman's supposed to be in marriage, in a relationship, in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I also spoke to a lot of rebbetzins and rabbis at the time. So I was really teaching myself and learning.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got to a point where they spoke about what it's like to be an important parent, you know, good to your children, and then everything is for your children. You do everything for your children. And also, not just being a very good mother, but being a very good wife to a husband, and show that you're going to take care of your husband. You know, that it's not just about, you know, my husband's coming home and, he should see me look at a place. You know, some women work all day, let's say, in the house, and they're tired, and they have the kids all over the place.
And they wear those famous curls. Do they still wear those curls? Remember in the movie, Shashi, those women used to wear those curls? Oh,
I Love Lucy or Honeymooners or something like that.
I don't know if they still do that these days, but, you know, we get the idea. In other words, the women didn't exactly look attractive to their husbands.
When they came home from work.
That could be a problem. You know?
Exactly.
Maybe the husband just walk out again and say, I'm going to go. I'll see you later. You know? So how do we women should do?
Yes. So I actually went when we were already married, and we were newly married, and I went to a class with Rebbetzin Braun in Muncie.
For the benefit of our listeners, Rebbetzin means a wife of a rabbi.
Correct.
Yes.
And she was telling all us young marrieds, and of course a lot of the women were younger than me. They were in their 20s, just had gotten married, and of course I got married at 35, so I needed to learn a few things myself, being a newly married wife in the Jewish religion. And she actually said to us that for those of you ladies that are home with the children, when your husband comes home from a full day of work, he's going to be stressed out, he's going to be really tired, and he's going to be very hungry. And you want to make sure that the household is calm and don't jump on him when he walks in the door. Give him a chance to come into the house, take off his jacket, go in the kitchen, maybe have a little drink or something, relax, and then it's okay to send him over to the children, let him give the children a kiss, goodnight, to bed.
Yeah, in other words, make him feel welcome.
Yes, make him feel welcome and relaxed.
We miss you. You know,
appreciate
exactly.
We appreciate you. We thank you for being all day outside working to support us.
Exactly.
And we appreciate you, and we want to show appreciation.
Exactly.
Not start and yelling and screaming.
That's exactly it, and that's what happens out there, unfortunately. Yeah. But you know, we were also told that a woman should never look in her appearance out of place.
Mm.
In other words, you don't have to wear makeup, but at least be clean looking, be decent looking, and make sure that you're appropriate so when your husband comes home, he doesn't see you look like a wreck, you know, with curlers, like you said.
Yeah.
That you should be decently, and even if he's coming home late, 9, 10 o'clock at night, you're ready to go to sleep.
Right.
You can easily make yourself comfortable and relaxed, you know. Dress properly, and say you're getting, you know, you're getting ready to go to sleep, whatever.
By the way, Josh, you know, you've been listening to all this from Linda. Isn't it interesting, huh? What do you make of that?
It is. The liberal feminists aren't going to be too happy with all that you just said.
That's obvious, yes.
Look, bottom line is for every good man, there is a good woman by their side.
You believe that?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
And for a man to be put forth and to walk forward proudly, there's going to be that woman right on his side, an equal.
Okay.
He's not walking in front of the woman. He's not walking behind her. She's not walking in front of him. She's not walking behind him. They're walking together.
Right.
And I think that when you get to that level in a relationship where you certainly do appreciate that other person and what they do and what they bring to you.
Right.
'Cause again, you have to love yourself. You have to be happy with yourself before you can love and be happy with someone else.
So true.
And so self-love is important. And again, well, I think what happens a lot of time is as you get older, you learn more about yourself, what you like, what you dislike, what you'll put up with, what you won't put up with.
Right.
And you start to get these parameters of what you're looking for.
Right.
And so then you try to find someone that's going to fit into those parameters.
Correct.
But the chaos and the idiosyncrasies and the things, the quirks, all those things, those are not negatives. Those are positives. And it's important for someone to realize that no one's going to be perfect. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. She's not perfect. He's not perfect. Right. But the question isn't whether or not they're perfect. Are they perfect for each other? Are they perfect together? Can they look at this situation and say, hey, we mesh.
Exactly.
Let's make this, you know, work.
Exactly. Because and so many people today, so many couples don't even take the time.
Right.
Right.
Exactly.
That's what we're here to make a, to emphasize that point.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
And we just, and it's really, again, it, my from my perspective, a lot of divorces could be saved. I didn't say
without
all,
a doubt.
Yes, right?
25-30% easily.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be, imagine what a difference, what impact it would make on the nation. Just really,
yeah. I mean, yeah. In some ways, it's kind of like being sick.
Yes.
You know, you try to do the things to help prepare.
Right.
For so that you don't become sick. But when you start to get to that level, you don't want to die, right? You
no.
want to do everything you can to save yourself. Well,
exactly.
A relationship is the same way. When you start to see some of those patterns, when you start to see some of those things that are happening, and maybe they become repetitive, maybe over time you see the same things over and over. Well, you can't just push them aside. You have to confront them.
Right.
Now, you can do it in a respectful manner, and you can do it to let them know that, hey, I'm not trying to control you. However, this is what's bothering me. Let's try to work on this. Come from it from an emphasis of caring and from support
right.
rather than dictation.
Exactly.
Correct.
Because as long as you do it from that point, from that angle, we're not getting anywhere.
Correct.
And then the next thing you know, you end up in the
Yeah.
It's
and then
sad.
You make some divorce lawyer an extremely wealthy person.
Exactly.
Even more than they already are.
Exactly.
And again, it's just one of those things where going back to basics is,
yes.
is really where it's at.
So the you're right. The point is, Josh, so you feel like us then, we have a responsibility. All of us, we have a responsibility, especially to our children, to see if we can find ways to, what's the right word, to be amicable. In other words, so people can get along in a more harmonious way. In this way, again, this affects the whole society.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I are very much into, we're concerned with the society as a whole.
That's for sure.
From different perspectives.
Correct.
And going back to what you were saying, now in terms of your situation, yes, that's right, I asked you before. So let's say hopefully one day you will get married. How would you do things differently now?
Well, I think that, again, I would pick my battles.
I
think that's the most important thing. You know, you realize that what you thought maybe you absolutely could not live with or could not stand, as you get older, you realize, you know what? What was I complaining about? It's not a big deal. There's so many more better qualities. So you want to focus on the positive rather than accentuate the negative. And just finding that right person. And don't settle. That's the important part. Do not settle for what you do not want.
Correct.
And try to find someone that has more in common with you, because that old adage, opposites attract, isn't exactly true. Because over time, eventually those differences will come back and there'll be too much to overcome. So find things that you have in common from the beginning.
Right.
Exactly. That's a value system talking.
Exactly it. We'll come back. I'll give the example we always do with the smoking and the not smoking.
Requirements, needs, and wants.
Exactly. Okay, so on that note, we'll be right back.
Are you single and looking to get married soon? Perhaps you've started that journey with your soulmate and need some coaching before you get married. Are you feeling that issues in your marriage have pushed you to the brink of divorce? Naftali Schwartz wants to talk with you. At the Center for Self-Improvement, we offer coaching for people that are looking for results in their lives or are just having trouble taking the next step. If you're ready for a shift in your attitude and mentality, visit the Center for Self-Improvement.com or call us at 818-209-7533. We're based in Southern California, but we can reach out to you no matter where you are in the world. If you're not in our area, Naftali can offer private sessions via telephone or online. Naftali will help you with your relationship coaching at almost any step. If you're looking to be in a relationship, in one now, or thinking about getting out of one, don't be hasty. Call Naftali today to get results in a different way. Visit CenterForSelfImprovementInc.com or call 818-209-7533. Again, that's CenterForSelfImprovementInc.com or 818-209-7533.
Do you need directions to solid financial future? If so, the Money Answers Show with Jordan Goodman will provide you with a roadmap to making smart money decisions in every area of your personal finances. Join Jordan every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 3 p.m. Eastern, for the Money Answers Show on the Voice America Business Channel. Learn how and where to get the best deals on mortgages, cars, and insurance. Find out the best ways to save for college and retirement, get out of debt, improve your credit rating, and save on your taxes. The Money Answers Show with Jordan Goodman will provide you with great tips on investment opportunities in real estate, stocks, annuities, and other investment vehicles. That's the Money Answers Show with Jordan Goodman on the Voice America Business Channel every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Want to help make our world a better place, but not sure where to start? Tune into Better Worldians Radio with the creators of the social game on Facebook called A Better World. Join hosts Ray, Mary Sue, and Gregory Hansel, who will inspire you to make a big difference in small ways. They'll speak to experts, authors, volunteers, and everyday people who are changing the world daily. Better Worldians Radio is heard live every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time, on Voice America Variety.
You are listening to It's Time to Go Back to Basics with Naftali Schwartz. To reach the show today, please call in to 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. Now, back to this week's program.
Okay, and we're back, everyone, with my guest, Josh Bernstein, and my wife, Linda. And again, Josh Bernstein is my executive producer, so it's really nice to have you with us, Josh. Thank you.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Yes, thank you. So, you know, we were talking about the perfect example is the smoker and the non-smoker. In other words, let's say if somebody smokes, let's say the man smokes and the woman doesn't smoke, and they get together and she just doesn't care for smoking at all. But she said, oh, I love the man, and I'll do my best to get used to it. Well, after, it may take, she might get used to it for about a few months, a year. But after a while, it's just too much. The room is full of smoke. The smoke comes from his breath, his hands, his clothing. So she said, please, honey, I can't continue like this. Could you please consider quitting? And he looks at her, he says, what do you mean? That was the deal. You know that I like to smoke. No, I'm not going to quit. And she said, well, but I can't continue like this. So like you were saying, Josh, that's where you know that's inevitable conflict.
It is. And knowing that you're going into a situation or relationship already with a conflict is just going to add to the probability that it's probably going to either end earlier than you would want, or it's not going to survive much longer than, you know, the beginning stages. Because, again, you know, somebody can only hide who they are for about 90 days. And that's why when you look at a new relationship, it's like that new car. It's got that new car smell, new car look, new car everything. And eventually, you know, that real person or that break-in period, if you will, comes up. And somebody cannot hide who they are for more than 90 days. So eventually that person's going to come through to who they are and what they're all about. And if you look at a lot of relationships, they end at about that 90-day mark, and all you have to do is look at the fact that that person may have been putting on a facade as to who they really are. And then eventually things were going to slip. You're going to say something that they're going to be, wow, I don't remember you saying something like that a month or two ago. And the next thing you know, you're going to find yourself, you know, in a broken relationship. If you're honest and upfront from the start,
right,
this is who I am. If you can accept me for who I am,
right,
great. If not, not a problem. I'm going to go look somewhere else because you can't settle. You have to be able to be true to who you are, and that person should appreciate that type of honesty. They may not like it, and they may say, you know what? I don't want to be with you. But the person that says, you know what, I appreciate the honesty. I appreciate you being upfront with who you are and what you're about. Mm-hmm. I like that. And that becomes a better quality in you.
Yes, because yeah. I was just going to say, Linda, before I go, because Josh, you know, we know this couple that very said, I'm thinking exactly what you said. They dating each other, now they decide to live together. And they're living 2 months together, something. And here we go. It's just mm-hmm. like you said, that now they're getting to know each other, who mm-hmm. they really are. What, and then the next thing we know, they say, we're splitting. I said, what? And then exactly yeah. what comes to my mind is what you said.
And probably because they ended up living together first. Now, I'll be the first to tell you, I've lived with 3 or 4 different women at some point in time, and it's usually 6 months, maybe a year, and then usually break up. And the reason is because you don't have that final commitment. You have an escape clause, if you will, because you're living with them. You can find out all the different things that you don't like about them. So the flip side is, well, do you just meet that person, fall in love with that person, accept them for who they are, all their faults, all their values and everything else, and then decide that now I'm going to marry them and then start moving in and living with them after that, because now you have that commitment. You've already said that you're willing to marry them or you're willing to be with them. So now when you're living with them, their commitment's already there. There's no escape clause. You've removed it.
Right.
And so maybe you have a better opportunity to having that relationship be more successful.
That makes sense, Linda. Makes sense, Linda, Josh was saying?
Yep. And you know, Naftali, want to give you the credit, because when we first met, when we first spoke on the phone for the first 45 minutes, you were giving me a clue as to your personality and your value system. And that's what made me excited to meet you. Mm-hmm. And when we finally did meet that day, look, we spent 6 hours together because you basically opened up the conversation. You're a real conversationalist, and that is forever. And you right away wanted to get to know who I was,
yes.
where I'm coming from,
yes.
what I'm dealing with. And this is just a few hours in the date.
Right.
This is one date. So we already started to make a friendship between us.
Just like Josh was saying.
Correct.
You got to put the cards on the table from the beginning.
Exactly. And you did a good job within just a few hours.
Well, thank you. It was like, it's like Josh said, you after dating for a while, you already know what you don't want. You
exactly.
get down to business, and mm-hmm. it'd be nice if our listeners could do the same thing in terms of following our guidelines, our advice. And what are you going to say about that?
Well, I think you're absolutely correct. I mean, I think that having that strong foundation to start with is the most important thing. And once you've established that, then the trials and tribulations that may come forward, you should be able to work out, because you've already built the understanding of who you are
right.
and who that person is.
Exactly. Right, Linda?
Exactly. Yes. As a matter of fact, I can just give the audience an idea of what gave me the clue that it would be interesting to marry somebody like yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Is that on the second date when we went out, mm-hmm. Just before we actually went to the movies, you said to me, can you join me? I need to meet this lady that she's in a nursing home. She's a neighbor of mine. She's really sick, and she could use my help. So I said, okay, sure, why not? So we went together to the nursing home, and we found that this woman, unfortunately, she was in such pain. Don't know exactly what she had as an illness, but she was laying there in bed, and she had some kind of foam cushion between her arms. And my husband went to see how she was doing, and he tried to ask her questions, and she could hardly speak. She was just maybe a little bit sedated or something. And she mentioned to him, or showed him, that she needed to make her arms a little more comfortable so that she can feel at ease with her pain.
Right.
So he went ahead and helped her. And I found that that was so interesting, because that gave me a clue as to, imagine being with such a wonderful man that he's already helping a neighbor not even part of his family, but a person that just lives down the street. He hardly knows their family, and he gave caring to this lady.
Thank you for that. I mean, actually, that's my personality. So I don't, again, I don't expect everybody to do these kind of things like I do, but hopefully I try to set an example for other people to do the right thing.
Well, it shows that in that circumstance, it wasn't all about you. It wasn't all about you and Hannah. It wasn't about the two of you. It was about somebody else that needed help, and you took it upon yourself to, you know, go out and help that person, regardless of whether or not the person that you were on the date with was going to be accepting of that. It didn't matter at that point. It mattered more for you and what you wanted to do to help that lady. And then obviously in this case, it made an impression on Hannah.
Right. So, like I said, and I did, like I said, Judge, I did what I, that's my nature, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So, you know, and that's how I remember how we started from the beginning. So whenever we get into our little bickering moments.
Women never forget.
It's amazing,
ever.
Josh. It's just amazing. So, by the way, so in closing, what would you like to say, both of you, to the, you know, main message that we'd like to deliver to our listeners today?
Well, I believe that since you are a relationship coach, basically what we do is try to help people in focusing on the requirements, needs, and wants for a relationship. And if you don't do that, that is literally the base before you go out dating. You have to know what's good for you, what's important for you, and what you can handle in a relationship, and figure that out before you go out.
Okay, thank you. And Josh?
Don't be a salmon. Don't go against the current. Go downstream. It's a lot easier. Don't fight it.
Very good. So thank you both for being on my show today. And we will see you all next time on It's Time to Go Back to Basics.
Thank you so much for listening to our program. Please join host Naftali Schwartz for another edition of It's Time to Go Back to Basics. We'll be here Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Have a very good week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.